Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. My name's Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator for Orange County, New York Paranormal. For those of you who are coming back, welcome back. For those of you who are new to us, thank you for tuning in. Looking at the analytics, we've had a lot of new listeners over the last month, and that's really exciting and really cool. So thank you. If you're listening, please, if you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review on the podcast platform you're listening to us on. There is also a video version of this on our Facebook page that you can like and follow us there, and on our YouTube channel where you can follow us and subscribe and ring the bell to get notified when any of our videos come out, whether it be a podcast episode or whether it be an investigation video like the one we're going to discuss today. We're also on Instagram as well. So there's many, many ways to see the podcast, whether it be audio or whether you choose to check out the video and actually see how unshaven I am in today's episode. But in either case, whether you've been here from the beginning or you're new, welcome. We are all about relatable paranormal conversation for everyone. That's why we call it the Paranormal Podcast, because one of the things that we are always told and we're kind of surprised about is people are shocked at how normal myself and my wife Emily, the co-founder, are. They don't expect us to be normal people. We are normal people. We're just ordinary people with an extraordinary hobby, and so far it has been so much fun to share our thoughts and our adventures with all of you, and today will be no different. So let's get going. So I guess the best way to start this episode off is to say, Happy October, everybody. Welcome to October. And people love October, and so do we. I mean, it's a great month. We love the weather, love the scenery, love pumpkin spice to a point. And there's so much that goes on in October. And given what we do as paranormal investigators, you would think October would be the month that we wait for, the time of year that we look forward to the most. True, yes, not always true though. Our love for October has really been more of a love-hate relationship over the years, and our relationship with the month of October has evolved quite a bit. And it all changed when we went from attending haunted events and being paranormal enthusiasts to becoming a paranormal group, to becoming Orange County, New York Paranormal. And that really changed how we look at October. And because October is the spooky season, it's the time of year where people are most into this, and that's awesome. We get more interaction with folks in October. Our numbers go up on videos and on clicks and on likes and on podcast listens and all that. So folks are into this in October. And before we became Orange County, New York Paranormal, it was great because it was the time of the year to go out and seek out these kind of paranormal events, and it was an ability to do more of what we wanted to do, because let's face it, the rest of the year it's not as available. It's why you see so many billboards for haunted forests and haunted funhouses and all of that. I recently was traveling on a major interstate highway for a while, and I must have seen 36 billboards for different haunted attractions over the course of, you know, 300 or 400 miles. It's great. People really get into it this time of year. But it's interesting because ever since we started becoming a group and doing this on a more formal paranormal investigation route, it was the easiest time of the year to do those things. But now that we've become more formal and paranormal investigators and lead our own investigations and publish our own evidence, it changes the answer to the question when folks ask us at events all the time, "Man, I bet you guys can't wait for Halloween." Sometimes it sneaks up on us a little too quickly, and especially back when we first started, it was, well, sort of. And while October is fun, it can be very challenging for paranormal investigators. And why? Well, supply and demand, right? Locations book up very quickly in October because folks are very much in the mood for it. And many haunted places that are legitimately haunted actually convert into the haunted attraction route, where it's more of a funhouse environment than an investigation environment, and you can't conduct an investigation. I always find that interesting, and I used to wonder why those places that are legitimately haunted would do that. In the end of the day, I think there's just a more vast audience for that kind of jump scare haunted attraction than there is for actually investigating the paranormal. And the other challenge is that if you are an independent group of investigators, locations jack their prices way up in October, especially the iconic locations. And they often hold events on the dates that are would be available. And when the dates that are available are there, it costs twice as much as it did before. So as we tried to book investigations early on in our existence, it was very frustrating to the point that October honestly used to be one of my least favorite months of the year in order to do what we were trying to do with investigating the paranormal. So what it comes down to in the end is the reason why it's so hard to get investigations in October is because in October, everyone is a ghost hunter. It's something everybody is interested in. It's something that if folks are into this kind of thing, those events are going to happen. That's when they're going to be. They're going to book up quickly. And that's great. But as I said earlier, it was our least favorite month of the year because, man, it's hard enough to book investigation locations normally. But in October, when the demand is really up there, it's tough. And we don't investigate abandoned locations and we don't investigate cemeteries for various reasons that I've talked about in previous episodes. But we do try to do paranormal investigations. We were trying to do them in October. And that's the reason why for a longest time we were very frustrated by the month itself. And, you know, and I say everyone's a ghost hunter in October. There is a major difference between ghost hunting and paranormal investigation. And they just are not the same. And it is one thing I will correct everyone who says they are when they're in my company. And I do it nicely, of course. And I could do a whole episode on the difference between paranormal investigation and ghost hunting. And actually, one of these days, I probably will. But that being said, because the interest is there, ghost hunting is what people want in the month of October. And, you know, that's what they get. That's typical supply and demand economics. You have to, as a location, you have to give people what they want. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually the way to do it if you're a location. We'll talk about how important this month is to some of those locations a little bit later on. But I wanted to sort of paint the picture for you all as to why October, when we first started, was so frustrating and is very likely, you know, there's 10,000 groups doing it 10,000 ways out there. If it's frustrating to us, it's frustrating to a lot of other folks too, who are trying to do investigations in a month where the locations, they have other things on their mind and other events that they want to do. And it's absolutely fine that they do that, even though it can become very frustrating to an investigator. However, as we evolved and as we got more established in doing what we do, we started getting invited to do lectures and to guide these ghost hunt events and to teach and to do demonstrations. And over time, we realized that October is actually a prime opportunity for folks like ourselves to give back to the locations that welcomed us in the first place. You know, we do these paranormal lectures and events. We participate in giveaways and raffles and fundraising activities. And one of the things is by promoting the smaller locations. And that's really, for us, very, very important. The idea of promoting the smaller locations, because they're the ones that need it. They're the ones that don't have the ability to charge $1,000 for an investigation like most of the iconic places that you see on your television, like some of the iconic locations that are near us that are just very much as likely near you, that for people like us, sure, come on in, $1,000. And for paranormal investigators, that's not necessarily the best environment for us either. Because again, when you're a paranormal investigator, you're not just looking for proof. You're looking for a story. You're looking to enhance the narrative, to tell the story of the spirit, to work with the people who exist within a location, to understand how to interact, to understand what is there, why it is there, to attempt to make that communication so that each side of the realm can coexist better with the other side. That's what paranormal investigation is. And with a lot of the iconic locations, they just don't need that. They don't need it, nor do they have any desire for it. There's a different group in there 7 nights a week, and that's what it is. And that's okay. But it's why, you know, they charge so much. It's because they've been on television, they've been marketed. But it's these smaller folks that we really enjoy supporting or helping to support by doing these events. Places that do these events that you don't see or hear about necessarily. Places like Hyde Hall. Now, Hyde Hall was in an episode of Ghost Hunters 10 years ago, but they don't allow paranormal investigation. We work with them as volunteers to do these events, and it's great. Places like Grapevine Farms, places like Finger Lakes Community Action, both places we have events coming up this October. Seneca Falls Historical Society, well, they don't do events with us. They do these kind of haunted, you know, haunted history tours. Places like Barkeater Chocolates, which isn't a museum, but it's also a haunted location. They come in, you tell stories. They've worked that in well. Places like the Clifton 5 Theater, and so on, and so on, and so on. There are so many of these kind of places that need and require the extra attention and extra business of the interest in all things horror and ghosts in the month of October to continue to help them grow. And of course, being that we form such close relationships with a lot of the owners of these places, we are more than happy to assist them in that growth. And the cool part is there are so many different paranormal groups that do exactly the same thing. If you are interested in the paranormal and you want to experience an investigation ghost hunt, like not the jump scares of the haunted corn maze or the funhouse, if you want to scare, that's where to go get it. But I'm talking about an experienced group of investigators coming in, talking about what they do, teaching some basic fundamental concepts of, hey, here's a good way to get evidence. In many cases, a lot of the groups will let you use their equipment and they'll guide you through this process. Wherever you are, if that interests you, go out and find one of these smaller locations that's doing this. Go out and seek it out, whether it's a period era ghost tour, like what they do at Hyde Hall or Seneca Falls Historical Site, where they take you around in the atmosphere of the time, or whether it's more of a technical investigation like we offer and a lot of other groups do. Go find that, because those exist and they sell out quick usually because there's a lot of people who enjoy them. But if you do this, you're not only just helping out, you know, these small local businesses, these museums, these historical societies, you're helping them not only in October, but you're helping them for the whole year, because a lot of places use this to supplement their income. And it may seem like we're using the spirits in that regard, but at the same time, if these businesses weren't able to do what they do, the properties they exist in might either be abandoned or demolished, depending on the city and people who buy land. And where do the spirits go then? So there are so many paranormal groups, small groups like us, doing these kind of events, and they put on great events. And it's one of the benefits of having so many people do this kind of thing. So it's not like you can, there's not two or three of them. No. If you do a search wherever you live, within 50 miles, I'll bet you'll find 2 to 3 dozen. Of these events going on. Seek one out. They, you know, not only are they good for piquing your own interest and learning about this very fascinating field and work with some people and hear their experiences, paranormal investigators do tend to have really good stories. You're also helping out small businesses, local businesses, and museums stay in business. And for me, that's a win-win. And that's the reason why the evolution of our relationship with October has kind of gone from not really a fan to it becoming what is quite seriously my favorite month of the year to do what we do. Because instead of going out and investigating stuff, we're meeting people and teaching them how it is we investigate, sharing evidence, sharing experiences, sharing stories, and helping out the folks who have invited us in to do investigations during the year, and being able to give back to both them. And in many cases, because most of this is done for charity, because a lot of paranormal groups like us, we don't accept anything, we don't charge, give back to the communities as well. Speaking of giving back to the community, that's a good segue into talking about our most recent investigation episode that came out last week where we were invited to come in to investigate Finger Lakes Community Action, the building that they occupy. Now, they are an organization that does a ton for the community. But that building has been around a really long time, and it's been so many things. Upon reading the history, my comment to them was, from what I've seen, this building in its 200 years of existence has been everything except a Little Caesars. It has been a home. It has been an office. It has been a basketball court. It has been everything. And with that comes a lot of history, and a lot of history and a lot of paranormal activity based off of the experiences and the deaths that have surrounded the property. If a property's been around a long enough period of time, there's a pretty good chance there's something that's going to be attached to it. Beyond the big thing that is there that really drew me and Emily, my wife, and lead investigator there, was the story of the maintenance person named Wall, who passed away suddenly when reportedly in a well, deep in the well, digging it, and one of the stones fell, hit him right on the back of the head. And sometimes it's those deaths that you don't see coming that do result in a haunting. Sometimes it's of the variety where the spirit doesn't actually realize that death occurred because it happened so suddenly. You also, I mean, and that's from the 1800s, but you also have an incident with the rumored apparition of a basketball player who had been killed by a drunk driver. This was 20, 30 years ago. And they've seen his spirit walking around. And so you have, you know, again, different spirits of different eras, which is the greatest kind of haunted location to have, because you can kind of, you know, go fishing with many different lines and with many different lures when the spirits are of a wide array of eras and times in which they passed away. But I will say, I have to talk about the Underground Railroad tunnel, what's left of it anyway, in the basement of that building. There was a much bigger part of that that used to be there, and for whatever reason in the 1940s they filled it in. I don't know if it was structural, I don't know what it was, but I think nowadays we would probably preserve that a little better, but back then who knows what the actual reasons were. There's going to be a link to the video in the description of this episode. I urge you to go check it out. It was one of my favorite investigations of the year, and some really good evidence. I'll talk about some of the evidence here in a minute. For me, we've done, at this point, it's well over 70 paranormal investigations as Orange County, New York Paranormal, and many more before that as members of a group event, like I was discussing before. The feeling in that tunnel is something I've never quite felt that. And it makes total sense if you think about it. I mean, this is a place that housed folks who were going through the process of escaping slavery through the Underground Railroad. And it did exist even that far up into upstate New York. I mean, we weren't that far from Canada, and that's where a lot of these folks were trying to go. And it was just the solemn feeling in there. I wouldn't call it sadness. It was solemn. It was just there, you know, and in the video I articulated my thoughts as I was having them, because it was such an unusual feeling in there. And you come away from that with just so much respect for those people and the bravery of what they went through. And I said in the video that in the moment, because I don't, you know, we don't script anything. Everything's on the top of my head or our heads whenever we say it. I meant it when I said, I really hope we don't capture any paranormal evidence in here, because I really hope the spirits of these folks are not still here, because that journey was not the destination. Wherever they were heading, it wasn't there. It wasn't that tunnel underneath a very large house in Lyons, New York. That is not where they were trying to go. And I've never had that feeling before of like, man, I really hope I don't capture anything here. I mean, that kind of goes against everything that we do. But, you know, if you think about it, it makes total sense. You know, I don't go in, you know, thinking I'm going to capture evidence anywhere. And I've never actually actively said out loud, I hope I don't capture anything here. And I meant it. And I'm still glad we didn't capture anything in that particular spot. It was as quiet and calm and solemn of a place I've ever been. And I mean, the whole thing's made of stone, you know. So if you're a believer in the idea of stone tape theory, which is limestone and stones can hold, not they hold the emotions and the experiences of what went on around them, and they hold that and replay those thoughts and those feelings over and over again. If you're not a believer in that before you walk into that tunnel, you might be one after, because the feeling in there was palpable. Like, it was very heavy and very solemn, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, one of the reasons that we got into doing what we do is, yeah, we want to talk to spirits and help the spirits, the living, the dead. We want to help all of that. We want to learn more, and we want to help where we can. But to be able to touch history like that was really an amazing thing, and I'll never forget that investigation because of that, because it was very special to me to be allowed to be in a place where all of those things happened so long ago. But we did capture evidence in the location, and the three that really stuck out to me as ones that, while I'm reviewing, I just go, wow. The first one was the basketball references. That story isn't as well known in terms of the hauntings of that building. It was something that a previous group that went there to investigate sort of talked about, and somebody said that they saw a figure, like a hooded figure, look like a basketball player. So naturally, any time we get any kind of lead like that, we're going to go and ask questions. Now, part of that building used to be a basketball court. And where the sighting was by where the men's locker room used to be. Now, this person, whose name we're still trying to figure out, was killed by a drunk driver on the way to the game, is how the story goes. So Emily and Margo sat down and asked a bunch of questions, and we actually got, when they asked what position do you play, it said forward. And even though, if you watch the video, Emily and Margo didn't know that was a basketball position at the time, it is a basketball position, and that's pretty cool. That's extraordinary. And what is more, even more extraordinary, is when you ask, who do you play for? And the reply comes back, Lions, which were in Lions, New York. And that, coupled with the position being said, that was really, really fascinating. We weren't able to get any more information from it, from that particular line of questioning, but the fact that those two extremely relevant answers came through was really something. And we're going to dig a little further into that, hopefully. Hopefully we'll have a follow-up investigation next year, and we'll be able to dig a little more deeply into that. The thing that probably stole the show in terms of impressive evidence was the SLS figure sitting in the chair. The SLS camera, structured light sensor camera, is a piece of paranormal equipment that, if you've ever watched almost any of the paranormal television shows, you've seen it. It's the stick figure camera. It's the that uses Microsoft Kinect technology, the same technology that allowed you to move and have a video game screen sense the moves that you're making to control the game. And how it does that, and I'm paraphrasing the science on here, is basically it just senses what's in front of it. And how it works in the realm of paranormal investigation is, if it senses something with enough substance, it'll form a stick or a shape as to what that substance looks like, most often in the form of a stick figure. And we went through that whole building for an hour with that SLS camera, and the only time anything showed up is in the part of the video where, in the seat next to Emily, there appears to be a stick figure sitting in that seat. And when that happens, what you do as an investigator is you want to prove it's not an anomaly. You want to prove it's not a glitch in the system, because again, the equipment is the equipment, but the equipment's not perfect. So we'll usually ask, raise your hand, or some kind of command, a very simple request that we make And when I said, can you raise your hand, the arm went up, which is an intelligent response. And toward the end of the figure being there, we said, can you stand up? And you can actually see what looks like the legs kind of shuffling a little bit as if it was attempting to stand. And as quickly as it came, it went. It was probably only in that chair for about 45 seconds. And out of the whole hour, like I said before, that we were there, the only figure that appeared was there. And the reason that we conclude it was paranormal is it responded to requests. It showed some intelligence. If it were a glitch, it wouldn't have moved the arm right after I said, can you move your arm? So that to us was a pretty good indicator that this might actually be something paranormal in a part of the building where a lot of folks have had experiences. So the SLS camera, relatively, the portable version of it's a relatively new tool in our arsenal. We did have a stationary one that I sort of put together myself, but I did end up ordering one that I could carry around because it's really tough. You have to have it plugged in when it's stationary. I want to be able to hold it and move it around. And it's already pulling its weight, not only at this investigation, but our upcoming unpublished Grapevine Farms investigation, where we also had another incident with the SLS that we're actually still reviewing. But it, another situation where for an hour you walk around with it, and then in one particular place, something pops up. Of course, the one that meant the most to Rhea and Margot, our fellow investigators, was the one we caught on the third floor. You see, prior to our investigation, Rhea and Margot went through with a different reputable group of investigators who were a little less equipment-based than us, but a little more psychic-based than us, which is great. It's great to have those different perspectives. During their time on the top of that staircase that I aimed a camera at for the entirety of our investigation, everybody there said they thought they saw like a figure, like a shadow figure, leaning on the railing, staring back at them. And obviously, since they weren't using cameras or anything like that, it wasn't something they could actually capture. So at the end of the day, it's hearsay. Because, I mean, at least in our world, that's how we look at evidence. We didn't capture it, so we're not claiming it. But when Rhea and Margot went to spend some time up there, they're talking about this figure and hoping that this figure appears. And to catch an EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, of a voice saying, remember me, while Rhea and Margot were talking about that figure, that just adds to the credibility of, you know what, if it says remember me while you're talking about a figure you saw, that's pretty good supplemental evidence that maybe you did actually see something up there, because that's the spirit almost acknowledging that you did see it and you remember me. And to get that kind of validation from the spirit of remember me, that's amazing when that happens. And I know it was very impactful for Rhea and Margot to hear that. Because as an investigator, when you experience something and you investigate the way we do, experiencing it is great. But when the evidence validates that experience, because sometimes when you see something or experience something as an investigator, you think to yourself, maybe I'm just crazy. That happens all the time. But when the evidence shows that, you know what, no, you experience something that might actually be there, that validation is so important. Because you realize you're not crazy. Well, you're crazy, but you're not crazy in that regard. And it helps you to trust yourself more going forward. Because, like, you know what? Yeah, I thought I saw that. I must have seen that because I've been validated by the evidence. So it is a great location. It was one of my favorite investigations we've had in a while. What makes it even better for folks like us, for groups like us who actually publish and actually review the evidence with the folks in the location that we investigate, the staff of that building, they are so invested in understanding what's going on. They want to know more. Sometimes when we do long distance evidence reviews, we'll do them over Zoom because we're 5 hours away from there. And they were happy enough to have us do it that way. I've never presented evidence to a room full of like more than 15 people like that. It was like I was teaching a college course, like from a distance or something. I've never seen that many people, and that it's usually just two or three It was so great to have the staff of a building and the people who work there and live there and experience all this stuff to be so invested and so interested in what you find. For people like us, man, that makes that location a gem, because you don't see that a lot. You don't see ownerships and staff getting that involved in what the evidence is and what it might mean. And it was it's such a great experience to be there. I'm sure we'll be back to investigate again, but I know we'll be back very soon. And that segues back to loving October the way that we do. And the reason we love October now is because we get invited to do these lectures and events and raise money and help these locations and teach people and garner enthusiasm for this fascinating field that we've devoted ourselves to. And we have an October chock full of events. I know not everybody who listens to this is in the New York area. It's been great to see where everybody who's listening to this is from. And again, we thank you for that. Subscribe, rate, and review. But October 7th, we're at Hyde Hall in Cooperstown, New York, Glimmerglass State Park. Unfortunately, that one's sold out. So if you're up in that area, you might have to wait for a future event. We have a volunteer relationship with them, so we do events with them from time to time. That one's always fun. But if you're in the Albany, New York area, more specifically Cobleskill, New York area, we have two events at Grapevine Farms, one of our favorite locations, the 14th and the 28th. We're doing two ghost hunt sessions, one from 5:30 to 8:30, other one from 9 to 11:30, I think is the times, but either way, and you can reach out to them, 518-234-9148 for reservations for that. And I just got done talking about Finger Lakes Community Action. We are going back there. If you're in the Rochester, New York area, or Seneca Falls, New York area, Lyons is nestled right around there. November 3rd and November 4th, we are doing two events each night, 5 to 8, 9 to 12. And you can go to their website and buy your tickets there. All the proceeds for all of these events do go all to the location, 100% of them. We do not take a cut. So again, it's just about coming out, learning how we investigate, and then sharing some experiences and going out there and investigating. And it's become our favorite thing to do. So another October's here. It seems like yesterday. And you know what? It's a great month. Binge away. Enjoy all the things the spooky season has to offer. Go to haunted attractions and paranormal events. Binge horror movies and horror series on television. Drink pumpkin spice lattes until you turn orange. It's a great time of year. But just remember, in an odd twist of fate, for paranormal investigators, October is the only month of the year that isn't normal. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.